Welcome back to another episode of Put Your Effing Shoes On, the Perfectly Imperfect Parenting Podcast. Here's Jen.
I'm Mike. Hi, listeners. Just so you know that you are not tuned into a sex podcast, this sultry voice is brought to you by bronchitis, but we're going to do our best because 'tis the season. And Mike, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was just fine. I don't know. It's Thanksgiving. It's, you know, it's kind of the same every year. You know what to expect. I don't know if we discussed it last time, but my mom does like fake Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that, which is just like Thanksgiving. And then we do regular Thanksgiving, which is Thanksgiving 2.0. Same thing, two different families. It's all good. You know, nothing to write home about. It's always nice.
Literally the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, basically. How was yours?
It was good. It was good. The cousins are always together, which is so nice. We usually have a bigger crew. This year we had a much more intimate crew. Just as much food as if all the original people showed up. My dad makes quite the feast, and my brother is an amazing chef, and my mom made some good stuff too. I had a few contributions that I brought. Mostly I just get to show up and enjoy. But the four cousins are all very close in age. And without fail, no matter what kind of holiday, what occasion it is, they spend the majority of their time together choreographing a performance.
The cousins as in like your age cousins?
No, so my two children.
Oh, okay.
However,
I'm just saying that one of them is really cute and the other one is just kind of odd, and I feel sorry for your parents to have to sit through that.
One of the performances themselves or the children?
I think that if your parents had to sit through you and your cousins putting on some sort of a wacky performance on Thanksgiving would be like, at some point your dad's going to wonder where he went wrong. And
I think it's cute that you think that my brother and I didn't put on performances. And I'm so glad you brought that up. In fact, we had a whole comedy act. It was just my brother and I, because at the time there was nobody, we didn't have anybody our age. We were Laffy and Jokey were our stage names. Mm-hmm. I was Laffy and he was Jokey. And we would come up with slapstick comedy and perform it and come up with some songs. Sometimes it was musical. Mostly it was comedic timing. So that was my childhood. Now, at least there's a foursome. And there were their older cousins, who are in their 20s, an engaged couple, they're adorable, got to take on the role of producer and additionally were invited to join the dance crew. So not only did we have 10 and a half, 9, and then 2 7-year-olds, we also had 2 20-somethings who adorably agreed to be part of this act. And it was very, you know, what is it, like the Osmond family? I don't know. It was like, it's very.
The Osmonds, the Jacksons. There's a whole, whole litany of famous families. The Bradys.
And now us. So yep. They did a few different numbers. It's always like a collab mashup of various pop songs. And it's more interpretive dance style. And the fact of they do some fun break dancing. My nieces are very good at gymnastics. So there were some it was a whole circus performance. I say interpretive because a lot of the moves mirror what the lyrics are saying. So, you know, if it's like they're pointing to themselves or they're literally, you know, wake up in the morning, whatever. They're like waking up in the morning and stretching their arms. It's a very literal, but it was wonderful. We enjoyed it all. Because we had a smaller crowd this year, my aunt said, will the crowd feel as big? You know, will the venue, as she put it, which is the living room couches, will the venue feel too big for the space with less people? And I said, no, we will fill it with a crowd of love and applause. And And we did, and it was epic. And the men even turned off the football game and the TV behind the kids for that brief period of time in order to really give it our all of our attention. So,
well, it's nice that the venue didn't move you into a smaller room, due to the size of the crowd.
It's true. Sometimes it happens. It's still VIP seating, mm-hmm. and we really,
I assume it's an open bar.
It was an open bar,
yeah,
and we all had a drink in the hand.
There you go.
And we were nice. It was after dinner, after dessert. Everyone was satiated, a little tipsy, ready to just take on these performances. It was great. They really love it. It's like I had seen this meme that, if you didn't put on shows with your cousins, your childhood wasn't even lit. And I was like, they've got it going on. They're lucky. So
my cousins and I did, what do we call them? Like ninja challenges, which was basically the floor is lava, but just like a little bit elevated, where we were climbing across like bookshelves and over, entertainment units and whatnot. That was my childhood. It was less performance and more don't touch the ground.
To music or anything? Or
No, of course not. No, we were just crawling over like old, like World War II shit that was in my grandmother's basement. We grew up a little weird.
I think it only makes it better if you grow up a little weird. The food was great. We had fun. Traffic was mild driving home.
That's good. Really fun. I learned that my dad's a canned cranberry guy. Yeah. I know you had asked me if I was like a canned cranberry or a regular cranberry.
I am beaming over this update.
Yeah. That was a news to me. It only took me 41 years to realize that he's a canned cranberry guy. There were two regular cranberry dishes out there on Thanksgiving, and then my dad felt the need to open up a can of cranberry, whatever. What do you even call that? It's cranberry. Is that cranberry sauce, that canned shit?
It's titled cranberry sauce, but it's also, or only, titled, it's like jellied cranberry. Yeah. So this is a two-parter. As I was inquiring about last week, is it the canned jelly roll with like the line ridges from the can, or did it have whole cranberries in it?
No. This was the garbage canned jelly cranberry.
Literally slice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a serving dish that they sell for that particular purpose, and you just slice on the lines and you can serve. You like, it's like a disc. It's like a gelatinous disc. It's like a Thanksgiving jello mold.
I'm not okay with that.
Well, however, would patty be, would she put celery in it?
Oh yeah, my mom would probably try and put some celery in there. She'll shoehorn a couple celery stalks into that cranberry mess.
I'm just saying, there's something for everyone. Wait, so this is what a discovery.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is really more epic of a holiday than you even made it out to be. I can't believe you didn't lead with that.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. It's really big news, especially for all of our listeners who have no idea who my dad is. But that's big news, right?
Our
Thanksgiving was just the kids were playing dress up in the basement and kind of doing their thing, and grownups were doing grown up things, and it was a big crowd because it was like my brother's wife's family who like they had planned on doing Thanksgiving at their house, and then my dad had a bunch of people that were from like out of town that were visiting this week, and like they're people that are their age, right, who have kids that are our age that are local, so they also showed up. So it ended up being like two massive Thanksgiving groups that just kind of got mashed together at my dad's house. So there were a lot of us. There was probably like 30 or so folks, and it was a good time. It was nice. Nothing crazy, but it was nice.
It's a lot of people. Isn't that like how the original Thanksgiving started? Just like a mashup of.
Yeah, I should have led with that. Half of them were Native American. Yeah.
How authentic.
Yeah. We make them wear the headdresses and stuff, even though those aren't really historically accurate, but.
We're politically correct.
No, but we feel like they should do it anyway. And it's definitely not politically correct the way we figure it out, but we figure out whoever the half of the table that's the most tan, and they get the headdresses and stuff. So, you know, naturally, I got a headdress, I got a tomahawk. I mean, I was basically the chief of the table.
Did you have multiple colored feathers on your headdress?
Oh yeah, you can't just have red feathers. You got to have them all.
Yeah, that's a silly question.
Yeah. Not a lot of cyan in the Native American community, but we managed to get one of those feathers on there too.
That reminds me of this story, which I think you know, and I really don't think I'm allowed to tell. But should I tell you that we could cut it if it's not okay? It's really bad.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Really bad. Okay. I probably told you this. So we had gone years ago to Rhode Island and we were trying to go into this cute little restaurant, but there was a long wait and we couldn't get in because there was the Brown Asian Society having some kind of table, you know, like they had a little private party or something, and it was a really small place.
What are Brown Asians?
Well, thank you for asking. So I'm thinking, oh, wow, I feel very uncultured. I didn't realize that there were different levels of color in the Asian world. So we enter. I'm thinking I'm going to get an education. We finally get a table. Some had left or whatever. It was opened up, but they were still there. And I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of looking and I'm just taking it in. And I was like, oh, okay. I kind of see it. I guess that maybe they are a little darker. Cut to our friend saying, oh, and after this, if you want to tour around the area, there's Brown University, there's this, this, and this, because we're in Rhode Island. And I sit there and I go, oh, like just out of nowhere at the table, they look at me, they go, what? I go, the Brown Asian Society. I go, Brown University. I had no idea. I said, I literally thought it was, and as did you, I thought they were Brown Asians. I mean, I will never forget this story.
I just assumed you meant Filipinos.
So did I. I just thought I had.
Asians with my Latin ancestry.
Yes, it was. We laughed so. I mean, we were all like choking on our food. I was like, but I'm really trying to take it in and like learn about this culture. And I'm like, I can kind of see it. I mean, one of them probably just came back from the Bahamas or something. I don't know. I really couldn't see it. I just was trying so hard to understand and be, you know, informed, and I was misinformed. but we still laugh about it. It's probably 20 years ago. But
that is pretty fucking funny. I cursed. Oh, that is pretty hilarious.
From headdresses to... but I'm excited. Thank you for the cranberry update. Nobody trotted. Nobody turkey trotted. It was all...
It's funny. There was a... this area that I live in is very tight, and one of the moms had posted her like turkey trot photo, and it was like the whole family went out there and did a run on Thanksgiving, and it wasn't like they just went like as a family and ran around the neighborhood, like they went to like a sanctioned turkey trot event. I was like, man, you are making everybody look bad. Like, don't be posting your family turkey trot.
It is a day for leggings and gorging yourself. Yep. I stand by it.
I was wearing my pregnant leggings too.
Good. My Thanksgiving pants. I also just like love the leftovers. Like legit at midnight, we came back home. We went to Jersey, came back home. Kids went to bed, kind of just veg. And then I'm like sitting there. I'm like, I'm kind of ready for like second dinner, third dinner at that point. And as it goes at it, he goes, kind of craving some corned beef. But I was like, oh my God, thank God. I'm like, do you want to go eat? He's like, sure. So we went down to the kitchen at midnight and we just were standing over the counter, like eating out of the containers.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm the only one in my house that eats leftovers, and I never ask for them. So unless somebody's making me like a bag to go, like since we had kids, leftovers aren't a part of my life anymore. It's really sad.
I think that's so funny. I feel like leftovers are a priority when you have kids. You're just not leftover family. For me, I'm like, let's roll this over into another meal I don't have to think about.
So my in-laws dropped off leftovers after, what did we have? We had something going on. Oh, they do like a joint birthday party for my oldest and I, because we're only 3 days apart.
Right. Happy belated birthday. birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
I did wish you this on the day.
Yes, you did. Set the
record straight, but for the world, let's wish you a belated happy birthday.
Yes, thank you. So they did drop off some leftovers from that dinner, which was nice to have for, you know, the next day. I think it was mostly because they just wanted to get rid of the cake that was there. And I had a piece the next day, and I tell you, I couldn't think straight all day. It was just too much damn sugar. It really killed me. But yeah, Thanksgiving, I, for whatever reason, don't get leftovers anymore. Nobody makes a plate for me. Like, I'm not going to do it myself. And because we do fake Thanksgiving at my mom's house, who was really the only person that would have even thought about giving her son leftovers, I didn't have anything.
So sorry. I think we still have leftovers. That's how much.
I'll come to your house.
Come to my house. Our family also, and I might have mentioned this last time, but we do a full buffet where the turkey's almost the afterthought, even though I know it was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Lamb chops and sausage and peppers and all these vegetarian dishes and gluten-free dishes for my cousin who's gluten-free. That's a whole, but just stations upon stations. So there's just so much food.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, everybody just takes plethoras of takeout containers that my parents have saved up over the course of the year, and everyone just makes full Tupperware. I mean, there's a couple kinds of soups. There's just so much to have. So I really enjoy that, because then, like, the day after Thanksgiving, just like my favorite, because then you can just veg.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I had said this last week, but I think it started becoming my favorite because when my husband and I were dating, lived in our apartment, we didn't have kids. We didn't have really a lot, anything to worry about. And we took our sectional couch, pushed it together into like a giant bed, literally brought the bedding from the bed, like a comforter and pillows, into the living room, and just polished off at least a season of How I Met Your Mother. That's what we were watching at the time on DVD. This is like how long ago it was. And we just like sat in pajamas with like a box of pie each or whatever it was, and just kept going to the fridge for left. It wasn't a big space, and just like vegging and lounging and eating and watching. So that was really, it's just had become just such a fun day for like not having to think or process. Like, I feel like the day before we dress up, we drive far, you're on all day. Maybe I've prepped something, you're eating, whatever it is. But then it's just food is, that's why I like the leftovers. Food is just there waiting for you.
I'm just going to say that story is, that's so Jen.
I know. I know.
So because we did like Thanksgiving twice, I feel like when you're hosting, you're like, all right, I've got it all covered, right? Unless you make it a potluck where people are expected to bring like a part of the meal. You generally are like, all right, expected to bring as like a guest, I guess. Like something to drink. Like everybody always says like, well, bring whatever you want to drink and like a dessert, right? But then like with my family, it's so many people that are showing up that are bringing now a dessert, like the drinks, whatever, they don't matter, right? Because if you don't drink it, it just kind of, it's a bottle of wine that sits in the wine rack, or a bottle of liquor that goes in the liquor cabinet, or you know, whatever. But the desserts have a shelf life. And if everybody's bringing a pie, a cake, a thing of cookies, whatever, eventually you get past your dinner and you've got this dessert table that's just, it's insane. And, that's how it was at my mom's house, where, I mean, I brought, there's a really, really great bakery right by me. Excuse me. There's a really great bakery by me that has like incredible pies. So I went there and I picked up a berry cheesecake and brought it over to my mom's. I'm going to slap myself on the back here. Best dessert that was there that day. A lot of people showed up with regular run-of-the-mill like grocery store desserts, which just don't bring anything. All right. Don't waste your money or waste the food. Just don't show up with a thing of grocery store cookies. It's not worth it. I will judge you. All right. Go to a good place or make it yourself. All right. The only way you can bring a mediocre dessert to anything is if you've baked it. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, if it's going to not be great, it better be something that's homemade, where now, like, I feel bad criticizing you about it.
should be like an A for effort situation, not like a, I picked this up and I could get this with my eyes closed.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, at my dad's, it was like, we're not doing this again. Cause my mom goes away for Thanksgiving, the actual Thanksgiving. She's like, I had my whole family here. We don't need to do anything anymore. We had fake Thanksgiving and I'm done. And then her and her partner travel on actual Thanksgiving. This year they went down to Washington, D.C. and did the whole like touristy Washington, D.C. thing. So when I went to my dad's, we were like, well, should we bring dessert? Watching how many desserts ended up either in the garbage or in the freezer at my mom's house the week before. So we decided we're not going to bother. We're just going to show up and we'll bring a bottle of wine, call it a day. And God, am I glad I did, because not only did it save me, you know, $30, $40, $50 on dessert that would have just sat there. And I'm not taking any of this crap home with me because I don't want my kids eating it all week. And I don't want to eat it all week. So it's just going to stay there with my pre-diabetic father. And he's going to snack on it every night this week. So we just stopped it. I forget it. We'll just bring a bottle of wine and call it a day. And even then, there was still too many desserts because everybody else brought something. What do you do? I know you want to show up with something. You want to be a good guest. But at what point do you just say, screw it? I mean, how many people can bring a dessert?
You know, I mean, you're right. Wine at least gets better with age. Dessert does not. Can I just like pivot for half a second? We have this shares group in our town that puts the most random stuff up for people to come grab. It's free. It's also literally sometimes you're getting what you paid for. So people are putting up like a gently used fruit platter or like a half eaten pie. But wait, it gets better, because when we were saying shelf life, it made me think of this. So you have to do something called an option is to do a flash give, which means I want this out of my house like yesterday. Mm-hmm. Whoever kind of answers first, it's yours. Versus a regular one where sometimes you pick a name out of a hat or however you do it. So somebody posted the insides of a bread bowl. Don't worry, they use sorry, I can't breathe.
This can't be a real thing, though. This is just somebody that's like trolling the group, right?
The insides of a bread bowl. So I have friends who we live for these posts, and I just want to make a book out of our text messages back and forth, because we just find the randomest stuff that people put up and then we'll send it back and forth with our own commentary. It's like it could be its own show. So the insides of the bread bowl, she used gloves, so you know, and put it, so it's like a bag of bread guts that someone else has fished out. But the best part was it didn't even say flash give. She's like, this was from days ago. Girlfriend's in no rush to get rid of this. So unlike wine getting better with age and desserts not, this was another one of those things that was just not.
It's like, hey, if you're looking for some shady croutons, I've got a bag full for you.
I got the place for you. But gently used fruit plant. Like,
so wait, where is this? Is this a Facebook thing? Is this on Facebook?
It's on Facebook.
All right. So yeah, my
share site for my town. You would not believe the stuff that people pick up. They want a leftover half of a pumpkin pie from somebody they've never met.
No, that's insane.
Gently used fruit platter, I will never unsay.
No, that's insane. So our little area has a regular page that is for just random news and like whatever you want to like push out there to the neighborhood. And then we've got like a free cycle page for people that are giving stuff away. And a lot of it's just like curb alert. Like, I put this crap out there. If you could use a bookshelf, like if you're somebody that's crafty that wants to refinish a bookshelf, or if you've got like, if you need like a kid's bicycle that's out there, like there's usually like some stuff that probably didn't need to go to the trash. Should probably have gotten donated to like a less affluent area, I guess. But it goes out there, and it's just, you know, if the neighborhood wants it, this is where it is. They'll throw their address up there, and you just come and get it. And I would imagine that some of that stuff does go. I've seen nice strollers out there that if you're moving into the area and you've got a newborn, it's one thing to say, hey, do you want my half-eaten pumpkin pie or gently used fruit platter? But I would say, like, with a stroller, if I knew that a family that was in my neighborhood was giving away a stroller and it was, like, a nice house, even if I didn't know the folks, I would say, like, I probably know who these people are. The stroller's in good shape. The house is kept up. Maybe we just go home and wash all this stuff and, you know, hey, we got a spare stroller. Like, my two jogging strollers were freebies, not from my neighborhood, but from a friend. But, you know, they were great, right? So if I was in the market for a jogging stroller, which those friggin' Bob strollers are like $500-something, if somebody's giving one away, hey, I'll grab one of those, clean it up a little bit. But gently used fruit platter seems insane.
I could understand saving $500 on a designer stroller. You could save $500 or one disease,
yes,
by not picking up somebody else's leftover food.
Yeah, even if it's not leftovers, like people that prepare food at home, I've got to know that they keep a clean home.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. There's people in the neighborhood that I don't want to eat things that they prepared. I've got people in my own family that I would prefer that they went and bought dessert at a grocery store than made it themselves.
Yeah, that's the one that A for Effort doesn't even
get. Yeah, yeah, just go get it. Yeah, go to the deli and get a couple cookies or something.
It's not that hard.
No. Oh, man. All right, so you know what? It's been the holidays, and I have had a little bit of free time. So I started watching some more TV than I would normally have. And I this has been burning me up all week, and I just need to know. I started watching the show Landman. It's on Paramount Plus. It's one of those Taylor Sheridan shows. And it stars Billy Bob Thornton. I need to ask, do you find Billy Bob Thornton attractive?
Wow.
Okay.
No, not at all.
That's kind of what I assumed, and maybe I'm crazy, because Billy Bob Thornton is always with, like, a very attractive woman. And in this show, it's no different. It's Allie Larder. You may remember her from the whipped cream bikini in Varsity Blues.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, circa 1998.
Classic.
Yeah, it is a classic. Yeah, cherry nipples. But then he was married for a very short time to Angelina Jolie. I mean,
yes.
And he got good, crazy Angelina, right? He got the, like, young, sexy, crazy Angelina, the one that was going to, like, I mean, probably stab you.
Right.
All right, but everybody wants stabby Angelina. Nobody wants, like...
That's good. Whatever your kink is, I'm not judging.
Yeah, you don't want settled down adopting kids from third world countries, Angelina.
Mm-mm. Maybe she got some brown Asians.
Yeah. And if you were wondering where the cancellation was coming from, it was from that one, the brown Asians, the brown Asian community. Brown's a good school. They could cancel us.
Brown University, sponsored by Brown University.
This will come up when our kids are looking to go to college.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm not getting any scholarships from Brown University. Okay, yeah, so I was just...
And an endorsement from Billy Bob Thornton.
I was hoping he was going to write the recommendation letter.
For sure.
But yeah, anyway, the show is great. I think he's a phenomenal actor, but every time I see him, he's always with these, like, smoke shows, and I just don't get it.
I don't either. I don't see.
I had to know. It was like I had to add it to my list of things to talk about tonight. Was, do women find Billy Bob Thornton attractive? And even when he's, like, at his best, he's still not great. I mean, he was in Armageddon, what, like 25 years ago? And yeah, he still looked like an old alcoholic then.
Yeah. Would you say he's more store-bought cookie or gently used fruit platter?
Oh, man, he's like Yeah, he's generally used. No, he's not even generally used. He's just like a couple of mushed up, like honeydew balls at the bottom of the fruit platter that are like floating around in the watermelon juice.
Mm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? There might be like an errant, like kind of mushy blueberry floating around there with him. Not great.
Yeah, he's not my type. And while I would like to imagine that I, as one individual, represent every woman on this planet, I will just state that as just my one opinion. I don't know if that answers the question as a whole, but if you're asking me, no, I, as a woman, do not find him.
Well, for you ladies that are listening to this, comment on our Instagram page. And if you are somebody that's going to say, yes, I find Billy Bob Thornton attractive, you better have a open profile. Because I want to be able to see what kind of a woman you are. I will be judging. I'm just saying, I'll judge you. I want to know. This is for science, people.
Science.
All right. What are you doing before the holidays? All right. I feel like every episode so far we've talked about some random holiday because we're in it now. But before the holidays really kick off, before Hanukkah, before Christmas, before, I don't know, what other gift-giving holidays are there? You guys have like 9 million holidays this month. What do you have?
I think we've reached our holidays. We did just go to a bat mitzvah. That was a gift-giving event, but in a different way. It's really fun, though. We don't have any more holidays. But I'm doing a lot of lead-up to the holidays.
Okay.
That's what we're now. Like, tomorrow night, it's like a pajama party girls night, and then it's, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. We have like a dinner, girls dinner at a festive restaurant that's all like, you know, magical Christmas land and that kind of stuff that mm-hmm. I feel like we have a couple holiday parties on the calendar, one adult one, one family one. I feel like everything is holidays from now on. It's kind of that, like, we're even in the let's circle back after the holidays conversation, or let's look at January when you're like making a social plan because everyone's just spent.
Oh, so yeah. No, I don't want to do anything extracurricular
right.
this month. The most I'll do is walk to the bar, you know, to meet up with like some dads that also needed to walk to the bar.
Yeah. Just like a little escape.
Yeah.
We always we do have a full calendar. We just say yes to a lot of things. So we're doing, we have some just otherwise fun celebrations of friends. How was your son's birthday and your birthday? What did you do to celebrate?
Well, my birthday, I don't really care about, so I didn't do anything. Go ahead.
I said, whoop.
Yeah, I know, it was great. For my oldest, I shouldn't say we didn't do anything for mine. You know, my wife tries to make it a thing. She, you know, little something with the kids, but nothing crazy, nothing noteworthy. For my son, it was his 7th birthday. We had his little party over the weekend at one of those places that does like painting on plaster sculptures. And we just did it for like, you know, he's at that age where it's weird. You don't know whether you should do it for the whole class or for like just his buddies. And it's like, you know, his class. I'm not really crazy about a lot of the kids in his class. So, he took like a couple kids from his class and a lot of kids from like a soccer team and like some friends from the neighborhood and like his class from last year that he's still very close with, or mainly because like we're friends with their parents, and just did a little party for them. It was fine. You know, it was, I don't know, not super entertaining for a dude who's 41, but you know, for a 7-year-old, they seem to have a good time.
Yeah, I would be more worried if it was super entertaining for a 41-year-old man hanging out with a bunch of 7-year-old boys. What was his theme? Did he have a theme?
So the theme was he wanted to do like Minecraft. So we had to settle for just generic video game. And that was fine. You know, these places that are like a party in a box, which is kind of like what this was, where we just wrote a check. And they handled it all between, you know, ordering the pizzas and the pinata and all that junk. We go to a lot of these places now. I assume that you do the same thing where it's just, all right, whatever it is, it's a party, you go. What are your opinion of dropping the kids off, one, or staying, you know, for the party as like a grown-up? Because I always feel like between play dates and birthday parties, I feel weird just being like, okay, see ya, have a nice day. I'll be back in, an hour, 2 hours? When do you want me? What do you think?
As the kids have gotten older, I much prefer it. And I get really overstimulated at kids' birthday parties. And I've worked with children. I volunteer in classrooms. I wrote a children's book. So I've read to big groups of kids. When I'm in charge, when it's on me, when it's my party, my friends, my hosting, it's overstimulating still, but I can handle it. When I go to one of those like jump place or something that's just, there's just so much happening. And then to try to make small talk, depending on who the group of people is, it just kind of makes me crazy. So it kind of depends on the situation. I mean, at 10 and a half, my daughter, I can drop her. It's not, she doesn't need me there. Mm-hmm. Both kids got invited to a party this weekend. So we dropped them together because it was drop off and we knew the person and we were comfortable enough. And it's just also, we're sort of in the way. I guess it depends who it is. I mean, if it's a close family friend, we're going to stay because we want to stay and talk to the parents. On the flip side, when it's my own, it's also, I think the place makes a big difference. So like where we just had my son's this past summer is only allowed like 10 kids and it's all one room and everything happens in one room. Mm-hmm. So few close friends stayed and everybody else dropped. And I preferred that because there's no room for everybody. And then everyone can kind of do what they want to do. When mm-hmm. I've had it at the house and people have dropped off, that's definitely more overwhelming to be in charge of everyone. But I think I like the drop off better, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's just because especially when they were younger and we would invite everyone by family, you're multiplying the amount of people by at least two, three, you know, because sometimes it's one parent, it's two parents, it's a sibling, because mm-hmm. that's kind of what your relationship is. And as the kids get older, it's more specific to them and their friends.
Sure.
So I feel like it kind of also the groups get more manageable. So, and the places usually can handle and accommodate. So I get that it's a strange concept, but I think the older they get, I'm all for the drop-off on both ends.
Yeah, so I'm fine with the drop-off too. I do think it's hilarious though, because every parent has to do like that dance where they're like, hey, do you mind if I just like, I gotta run to Target real quick, I gotta do this. And it's like, no, you just don't want to be here. And it's fine because I don't want to be here either.
But right, it's like taking the wallet out, like the, I got it, I'll pay.
Yeah. Like, just go. Like, hey, man, what time is this over? All right, cool. See you later. I have had a couple of these parties a couple of them were really nice, actually. So some of those, like, those bounce places that have bars, which is awesome, where the parents hosting the party also kept a open bar for the parents that were there. So I guess you could have probably dropped your kids off. I don't know if I would at one of those places, but they had an open bar for the parents, which was kind of nice. I also find that I'm a lot of the times the only male there. It's a lot of moms and then me, which is fine, I guess. I'm kind of used to it at this point, but it's also a little weird. I don't know.
When my daughter was a baby, I was in a baby group and we had a similar situation. It was one dad and somebody had invited him. And I guess I knew a new baby was coming or whatever it was, but it was to my house. I didn't know, or maybe whoever the house was. But I remember this gentleman coming to the door and we were like, hello, can I help you? Because it was just awkward. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, this is strange because women talk, especially like new mom talk and all that goes on, felt very different and very personal. Or what if somebody was nursing their baby? But obviously he has a wife and he was super respectful. We ended up becoming really good mm-hmm. friends with him. And it was just a situation that sometimes his wife could come around, but typically she was working and he was being such a good dad and bringing his son out for social time. But I think it's different too now that we're, even when the kids are older and it's not like an intimate setting, like in the women's living room or something, I feel like in those kind of situations, it's like you're obviously personable and can be conversation. So
yeah, if it's out, it's definitely takes some of the pressure off. I think because if I'm in a group of a bunch of moms, especially like if the ones that I know, it's not really, they know what they're getting with me. But I spend all night with dudes, and we have like gallows humor, right? Because we're dealing with high stress, like generally like very dramatic situations, and our way of coping with that is to kind of chuckle. And then I get to like the real world with a bunch of moms who don't live in that world, and they're, it's just very, the interactions are very different, because what I find hilarious is what they find mortifying. So they can just be like, yeah, so how's work? Like, well, let me tell you about my night.
It's not the environment maybe for a deep dive into the world of a police officer, perhaps. They're like, oh my God, I got this great deal at Target. Maybe that's more of our speed. We're like a little lighter conversation.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, TJ Maxx, huh? Tell me all about that.
I can see where some of the subject matter may not fully match up. But listen, you're there. You're being a good dad. You're in it. And I think that's good.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time with my back against the wall looking at my phone.
Yeah. I don't, it's just a lot of the, I don't like small talk in general. Mm-hmm. I'm a conversationalist, but I don't want to have small talk.
No, and I don't either.
It's just unpleasant. Actually, for my daughter's birthday party this year, her 10th, so the kids were definitely old enough. There was no reason why they couldn't. And I made it very clear, you know, drop off, come back, hour and a half. So then it was just my husband and I were sitting, and I was like, this is kind of nice. I'm like, we're literally sitting. We're watching everything happen for the people we're leading. It was a virtual reality party. So kids are actually hooked up to these things, couldn't go anywhere. And there's two instructors walking around. So I was like, great, we can have almost like a little date. And one of the fathers ended up staying, like, and it was kind of like, he's an older gentleman. We don't know him super, super well. And I was like, now I have to spend an hour and a half making small talk at my own party. I just want to sit with my husband and enjoy this event. And he was perfectly lovely, but I just, you know, just different energy than what I had in mind. I was like, dude, we've got this. Like, I promise. Like, we go from here. They're going to have pizza and cupcakes. Like, it's pretty solid standard game plan. So
I wonder if you can get away with putting that kind of stuff on an invitation from now on. Like, if you just put at the bottom, like, we prefer that you just drop your kid off and leave or stay for cocktails.
Right.
You know, whatever the general mood is for you and the parents, maybe you should state that on the invitation.
Yeah. Or just, I would imagine the social cue would be that everyone had left. But if he wasn't comfortable or his kid, you know, needed it or whatever it was, I mean, you can't fault a parent for being a parent. I just could have had him at a different table than the one I was trying to have a very romantic date night with me and 12, 10-year-olds making fools out of themselves with a virtual reality headsets on. But, you know, another time, perhaps. And then he ate some of the pizza because I was like, how do you not offer the pizza, you know?
Yeah, the pizza's like, I was trying to eat well, and then we had my son's birthday, and you know, you always get like a pizza or two for like the parents that are hanging around.
Yeah.
And they weren't eating it because, you know, for them, they, you know, also did not want to have to eat pizza. And I was like, well, I'm not going to bring a whole friggin' pie home with me, and I hadn't eaten it all that day, so I ended up eating half a pie by myself, cut into 16ths, so I'm like folding three slices into one and eating that. It's been a pretty fat like week or two.
Ugh, tell me about it. Yeah. It's so true. It's really, it. Well, and also, so my daughter had been sick, like out of school for like over a week, you know, just whatever. It's just the time of year. So a group of my friends were just very kind, and they just knew I was just in the mom thick of it. So they dropped off this gourmet platter of these incredible cookies and then like some fun candy. My friend goes, take the cookie and microwave it for like 30 seconds. And she goes, oh my God, I sound like such a fatty. I go, oh my God, you sound like such a genius. So every night I've been taking, and they're like legit, like scoop, like big cookies. Like you take an ice cream scoop, and I've been just taking a little ceramic ramekin, placing a cookie in and putting it in the microwave for 30 seconds and just like indulging in this warm, gooey cookie. I don't regret a second of it. I might in a week or so, but they're almost gone. And I feel like you got to eat them while they're fresh, you know? So it's just that kind of time. You know, my kids, I think you've even been at a party, have now chosen McDonald's over pizza for a lot of these events, a lot of these birthday parties. So we've catered like McNuggets and French fries as the party food instead of pizza, which has been really fun.
I mean, I definitely don't hate a little late night McDonald's.
Yeah.
But to have it for a kid's party, I mean, I guess the kids like it.
Well, the kids loved it. It was such a treat. The night before my son's party, I'd gone to a concert with our friends. And it was my husband and the kids and then our friends and their kid. But my kids went home with my husband first. So I went in the car with my friends and their kid. And it was like 11 o'clock and we had drinks at the thing. And I just like all I wanted was like a thing of fries. So I was like, Dad, he was my friend. I was like, can we please go to, I'm like in the back seat of the car. Can we go to McDonald's? And we took it to the drive-thru. And I was like, I'll have a small. And he's like, I'll get you a large. And I was like, please don't get me a large. I'm going to eat the large. And so, of course, I ate the large. So the next day at my son's party, one of the moms was like, oh, my God, McDonald's. She's like, oh, I haven't had fries from there in like years. I can't even remember the last time I had fries. I was like, oh, yeah, me either. it was like 5 hours prior or whatever. I'm like, so then I had them again. Anyway, there's nothing like a good McDonald's fry, I have to say. But
they are pretty great, but I could say I'm with your friend. I have not had a McDonald's fry in several years.
Yeah, I don't do any of the meat in general, so like none of that would appeal to me. Mm-hmm. But I do like the ease of it, and I just really do enjoy fries and a good fountain soda from just about anywhere, but particularly there.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, thank you. I also like Salsa Fresca's Diet Coke.
I don't know what Salsa Fresca is.
It's right by us. It's like a Chipotle, but it's like maybe a smaller scale. The kids think it's amazing because they're like, you can go and you can ask for what you want and they'll make it for you. I'm like, that's a restaurant.
Yeah. Also, your kids have been doing that to you for 10 years.
Thank you for the recognition and the validation. That is true. That is true. I am a made to order mom. They love it because they can go up to the counter and they just, you know, they just like make a burrito, whatever. Mm. And they both graduated to the adult burritos because they're just big appetites. So they really love it there. And they do have a good fountain soda. So one time over the summer, and I was like trying to be really healthy. So my husband and I were going to go to lunch and he's like naming all these places. I'm like, honestly, I just want to get like a salad from somewhere because I'm feeling good and I want to stay feeling good. And I looked at him like, but do you want to go a little wild? I'm like, I know it's the daytime. I'm like, but what if we go and get a fountain soda and not even go to the eat at that restaurant? So we actually like stopped at Salsa Fresca for fountain sodas. So yeah, living large. Got mine on the rocks. It was amazing. I know.
All right. What do you got for never have I ever? Never did I ever.
Do you have one?
I got two.
All right, you go first. I still have to vacillate on mine, but I'll take two from you. I like that.
All right. Yeah, so one. Hold on, I got it over here somewhere. I got to expand this window so I can read it. Oh, yeah, okay, so... Yeah, never did. So we put the Christmas tree up this week. And I tell the kids, you can go and you get one box of candy canes, whatever. Now, I mean, when we were kids, all they had was rainbow, like candy flavored and peppermint. And that was it. Now you can get like every brand. You can get Jolly Ranchers. You can get Nerds. You can get Oreos. You can get all sorts of stuff, right? So I get each of the kids gets to pick one box of candy canes they decorate the tree with. Also, when I was a kid, we weren't allowed to put candy canes on the tree. They were something that was part of Christmas, but that my mom had a very, strategic way of decorating the tree. If you took a picture of our tree from when I was probably 5 years old to 20 years old, the tree did not, deviate. It looked almost identical. It had, like a dark magenta ribbon with gold lace that went through it. And these flowers and these, you know, she was very particular about how the tree looked exactly the same all the time. But my kids get a box of candy canes each and they can hang them on the tree. I never thought that I expected my 3-year-old to start taking them off of the tree where she could reach them. When we moved them well out of her reach, I never expected my 3-year-old to climb the Christmas tree, artificial, to get candy canes at the very top of the tree. But today I came into the living room and she is underneath our coffee table eating a candy cane that was 6 feet off the ground. So never did I ever expect my 3-year-old to climb my Christmas tree for a candy cane.
I don't even have any that she's mimicking.
Yeah. Also, today we were in CVS waiting for a prescription. We're sitting in these little like chairs where they get like COVID shots and flu shots and stuff. And I would use adult loosely, but an adult in pajama pants in the middle of the day showed up for a prescription reeking like marijuana. And my 3-year-old and my 4-year-old are sitting in the chairs. And as soon as he gets up to the counter, they're like, "What is that smell?" And now, had I been with any grown-up and not my kids, I would have said, "Well, that's what happens when you smoke weed in your car. You stop smelling it, and then you just bring that smell out into the real world where good people are." What's that?
Can you say hot box, kids?
Yeah. So not that I disagree with marijuana being legal or non-criminalized or whatever. I think it absolutely should be. And I don't really care that this guy was smoking, but he just stunk to high hell of marijuana smoke. And then the kids just would not stop with it. So while he's at the counter trying to get his prescription, they're just like, "But what is it? It smells like fake smoke. What is it? It's smoky, but it smells gross." And blah, 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 blah. And just would not stop. I'm just like, any minute this kid's going to turn around. And he's like a young guy, like in his, you know, early 20s, let's say. And he's just going to be like, "It's me. I'm sorry. It's me." But yeah, just a silly dude in pajama pants in the middle of the day that just smoked way too much weed in his car.
And he didn't say skunk.
And what?
He didn't say skunk. I feel like that's what my kids always think. It's a skunk.
No, no, no. We live in a really nice neighborhood. He was smoking good weed.
Oh,
no, I don't know. It's just it's the same smell. It's the same smell in every car I pull over. It's just that I've been smoking weed in this car for way too long, and I don't smell it anymore. Smell,
right? Love it. Love that for him.
Yeah. Living his best life in his pajama pants at 2 p.m.
Well, so that's the attire now. I feel everyone's
absolutely not. If you wear pajama pants out of your house, I will judge you.
Yeah, I guess if you're not in middle school, it's not okay. I still don't love it for middle school. I just know it's a trend.
I feel like when we were in college, that was like you could go out and grab lunch in pajama pants. Even then, I would judge you.
Yeah, I mean, judge away. I don't have a good story. I just have a phrase that I was told. So my daughter was sometimes gets a little, I feel like, dysregulated. Like she just gets super excited and she's a little all over the place. And I was like, "You are a range of emotions." And she looks at me and she goes, "No, I make you a range of emotions." Touche. I mean, she's not wrong. Mm-hmm. So I always love those little snippets.
Yeah, I'll give her that.
Any safety tips before we wrap?
No, I got nothing, but I got some news.
Yes.
All right, so two articles that I came across that were parenting news. One was from the most reputable news site, BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. And it was an article on the lengths at which parents would go and how petty they could be to seek revenge for perceived wrongs to their children. And a lot of them were very, very, like, just petty, silly things that did not need to be in a BuzzFeed article, which is kind of how BuzzFeed operates. One of which I'm going to assume did not happen. And if it did, if it was true, this woman was probably brought up on some sort of a criminal charge. But she said that she was at a amusement park where the guy operating the cotton candy stand dropped the cotton candy that she was buying for her daughter on the floor, picked it up, and tried to give it to the daughter. So instead of doing the reasonable adult thing and saying, hey, don't give my kid the cotton candy that I just watched you drop on the floor, she decided to push his cotton candy cart down a flight of stairs, causing all sorts of damage. And then when the amusement park stopped her, according to her, stopped her and told her that she was going to have to pay for it, she said, no, he tried to give my kid cotton candy that could have gotten her sick and potentially killed. And then she just left the amusement park. That is psychopathic behavior.
Wow.
Not only is it crazy, it's also criminal. So my guess is that this is all hilarious and bullshit and something that she saw in the movie Sleepers, which, if you recall, that's I think Brad Pitt was in that one. It's where Kevin Bacon molests the kids at the it was like a jail, like a juvenile detention center in New York, because they had thrown a hot dog cart down a flight of stairs and severely injured somebody at the bottom of the stairs. I assume that that's just where this story came from and that it is not factual, but I was curious. Have you ever taken some super petty revenge on a kid that had wronged one of your children?
Oh, that's such a good question. I will go on record saying I've never pushed any carts downstairs. I would never waste food like that. I don't know. I don't know about revenge. I've definitely held a grudge and like not really looked at the kid in the same way because I didn't enjoy their behavior. Like, my daughter had a play date with a new friend and there was just a lot of little things leading up to it. She was just kind of getting under my skin. And we had a brand new pair of flip-flops that we had just gotten. And for whatever reason, she like chucked one of them over the fence, but like never to be seen again. It was, you know, in the other property behind a whole bunch of brush. It wasn't, you know, it's like a woodsy area. It wasn't anything where we could retrieve it. It's like, that was just aggravating. And then it kind of always something I remembered, but nothing revenge because I don't think so. I liked her less, but I still drove her home. So I don't know. Still have a good heart. I still fed her dinner. No, I don't think I have. Have you?
No, I'm kind of subscribing to the, you know, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems thing. So I'm waiting for that for down the road. Yeah, I definitely have kids that I know that down the road I'm going to have problems with. Just now they're just too young for it, but we'll get there. And yeah. I'm anticipating what I can do, staying within the confines of the law to really drive them crazy. So I'm getting there. I have a feeling that with my daughter, it'll be there'll be some more revenge seeking. But with the boys, it's really just a matter of teaching them how to get revenge.
Yeah, that's true. It is different, boy versus girl. There's mm-hmm. different boundaries and standards, as sad as it is to say, but it's true. It's like a more protective role with the little girl. But.
And as much as I want my daughter to just deal with it herself, and I think she's probably more capable even than the boys are because she's much tougher. As her dad, I feel like I'm the one that's got to go and do it.
Yeah, set the record straight for sure.
So I'll be John Wick and middle schoolers before you know it.
We're looking forward to that update.
All right, that's it for our show for the week. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, rate and review, do all the fun things that make the show grow. Make sure you get out there, put your effing shoes on,
and take on the parenting world.
Plan. you care.